Welcome back to the Breaking the Plane podcast, episode 2. I'm here with Josher and Kojak. I am Burge. We're excited to be back with you here to record episode 2. We got a lot of good content coming in for you. It was quite an eventful week in the NFL, especially for the three of us. We're all Patriots fans, so we'll get into that in a little bit. Guys, how was your week?
I want to die, boom. Oh, sorry, I jumped the gun there. No, yeah, I want to die, boom.
Who's boom?
Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. As a football fan, great weekend of football. Kind of pumped to talk about a couple things that I was right about. But also, I am deeply saddened by the state of my favorite football team. There's not really much else to say besides the fact that I am dejected and hurt as a Patriots fan. Just looking at the box score, it just says zeros. It's just so bad.
Absolutely. I'm still sitting here sporting the jersey. Ramondre Stevenson Reds. Gotta love it. Kojak, how you doing today?
I wish I were doing a lot better, but you know what? My Celtics started at a good time, so I'm doing great.
Let's go.
Yeah, thank God that game started like right after the pass was over.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Joe, I just want to say happy wedding, second wedding anniversary. I got to throw that out there. I saw that on Twitter today. Got to throw that out there. Congrats for making it for 2 years.
Thank you.
And
she's a saint.
Yeah, she puts up with you. She's got to be.
I don't know how she does. Bless her soul.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Well, let's
keep up with the kid.
No, you're good, man. Well, what do you say? Let's get into it here. You know, we got a lot of stuff to get into. Let's not waste the time with our random bullshit in here. Let's start off with the Sunday night football game from this past week that featured the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. It was a bit of a blowout. I didn't expect it. Obviously, we knew what the San Francisco 49ers were, and we saw what the Dallas Cowboys did to the Patriots last week with blowing them out. But what a game. What a game. Lot to talk about from that. My fantasy team loved Christian McCaffrey in that game. I ended up losing by 2 points because the 49ers were ahead by so much. McCaffrey and I think it was Deebo Samuel I had. They were off the field in the fourth quarter. They were off the field in the fourth quarter, and I lost by 2 freaking points, man, because the Dallas Cowboys decided not to show up. Joe, what are your thoughts on this game?
I remember we talked about last week the Patriots and Cowboys game, saying more about the Patriots than it did about the Cowboys. There's a couple other games where we were kind of dissecting who the game says more about. And I think this game, even though I love to hate on the Cowboys, this game says more about the Niners. I have a note here that says I'm not 100% sure that Brock Purdy is 100% a game manager. I think that some of the coverage is getting away, getting kind of out of control. But I think that he's doing things that are outside of the system. He's making decisions and making plays with his arm that are kind of outside of the system. And this is kind of what what sports and what athletics looks like when you have a perfect scheme with the perfect players within the scheme. It's beautiful to watch. And the greatest thing is besides McCaffrey, every single player on that offense is homegrown. So it's kind of cool to see.
Absolutely. I had some reservations about Brock Purdy coming into the season this year, you know, training camp with Trey Lance, that battle going on. I mean, it wasn't much of a battle, let's be real. But you know, the guys come in, dude, all that guy does is win. He wins and he's effective when he wins. I mean, you look at his numbers from this game against Dallas Cowboys, who have a pretty good defense. They have a pretty solid front seven. They got a good secondary. I know they lost Trayvon Diggs to injury, but they still got Stephon Gilmore back there. Dude, 17 of 24 for 252 and 4 TDs. That's about as perfect as it comes. All right. Yes, he's got a lot of talent around him. George Kittle came back in this game with, you know, his 3 catches for 3 touchdowns. All right. You add CMC in the backfield. You add Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel as your wide receivers. I mean, that's an offense filled with talent. That doesn't even start to get into talk about their defense. All right. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. I don't know. When are we going to stop calling him Mr. Irrelevant? I know he was the last pick in the draft, but I mean, let's just be honest. He's not irrelevant. He is a legitimate quarterback in this league. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you put any quarterback in that offense, they're going to have the same success. I don't believe that.
They'll have success, but not what they're doing right now.
No, exactly. You got to have that right mental mindset. You got to have the skill set and you got to have the buy-in. You got to have the mental buy-in to buy into what's going on there. And they're rolling on all cylinders right now. And, you know, I like watching this 49ers team. I'm a fan. They're not who I want to see win the Super Bowl this year, but if they do win, I'm not going to be one person that's going to be upset about it. And, you know, they're just rolling right now. And, you know, anytime your starters can come out early in the fourth quarter is an absolute win for your team. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I think that I was watching Dak a little bit, dude. And it's like, it's crazy. I don't know. Like he hasn't like, he never looks comfortable in the pocket. Like he never looks like he can put up some numbers and there's a lot of talent on that team. So I think that sometimes he could play point guard and kind of just let other guys make the play. But like, dude, I don't know. He just strikes me as kind of like a middle of the road quarterback who's just like a product of what's around him. And when the scheme and the players around him aren't performing at a high level, it's going to be tough for him. Like, I think the offensive line struggles Dallas is having right now, coupled with the fact that obviously the Niners have like an unbelievable front seven. It just watching Fred Warner. Is his first name Fred? Warner, number 54, yep, run with Brandon Cooks on that crossing route. It's just like there's a way to build a team, and the 49ers have like figured out the way to do it. Like they pay who they need to pay, they figure out what they need to figure out, they get players that kind of like fit exactly what they're trying to do. And like last year at the trade deadline when they go get CMC, like they're like, okay, we're like rolling with a backup quarterback, we're rolling with a second, like a seventh round pick, so like we need to like go ahead and like grab like a dual threat running back, like a scat back, to make it easier on him.
CMC's had a little bit of a revival, I would even say,
yeah,
since he's been traded there. I mean, CMC was always hurt, it seemed like.
I was just gonna say, funny how he can stay on the field when he's on a really good team.
Yeah, right. Like he's fighting through it, and he hasn't lost a step. He's getting a little bit older for, you know, a running back. I think he's getting up to be like 28 years old now. 27. He's gonna be 28 this year. He's gonna be 28.
Wow, he's that young. Okay.
Yeah, and he's still doing it. He's a multi, like you said, a multi threat back. Going back to Dak Prescott, he strikes me as the kind of quarterback that just he echoes like Jekyll and Hyde. Like there's weeks where he looks really good, really, really good and elite. And then there's other weeks when he just looks completely subpar. And like, I don't know if it's the defenses and the defensive coordinator scheming up a plan for him every week, you know, when he looks like that, but Dallas's offense was completely inept in this game. They couldn't run the ball and they couldn't throw the ball. And it's
offensive line still kind of banged up.
Yeah, they're banged up with Zach Martin and Tyron Smith, those guys, you know, those all pros that they've had trouble keeping on the field. But you look at the receiving talent. I mean, you have CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion, he's one of the more talented wide receivers in the league. I would put him way up there. I got him on, I think, two or three fantasy teams this year. And
out of your seven,
Brandon Cooks is a number two on that team. Brandon Cooks on a lot of teams in the NFL probably could still play that fringe number one kind of guy. So
yeah,
Tony Pollard's nothing to sweat about in that backfield, but you know, it just seems like that, you know, they got blown out by the Cardinals. They come in, they blow out the Patriots, and then they get blown out in primetime against Sunday Night Football. It's typical Cowboys, you know, they have the talent and they wet themselves in the biggest moments.
Yeah, Dak is starting to look a little bit more like Kirk Cousins every day. It's like legitimate stats, but then as soon as you like turn the bright lights on, and as soon as you get into like a must-have it kind of mode, like it's not very pretty.
I mean, they're probably going to be a playoff team, the Cowboys. I mean, I'm not going to write them out of the playoffs at this point. They ain't winning that division. Philly's going to run away with it, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but They're gonna make the playoffs, and you're probably gonna see a lot of the same stuff. I mean, they got Mike McCarthy as a head coach who, you know, has his moments where he looks really good, but again, you go back to his time in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, they always wet themselves in the biggest moment. And you can put that on Aaron Rodgers, but Mike McCarthy had a hand in that too. He calls the offensive plays. So it's gonna be interesting to see how the Cowboys respond to this. You know, they got a big game on Monday night coming up this week against the Chargers on the road. I'm going to be watching that game, hoping to see what kind of response that they have. Again, you know, they responded after their blowout to the Cardinals against a bad Patriots team. And, you know, we'll see what they do against LA next week. Let's move on to another game that I watched. I watched with a close eye because of my hatred towards the Buffalo Bills. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills over across the pond at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, England. The Jacksonville Jaguars prevailed in that game, and I was very happy to see that, although there was some scary moments, as we were talking about in our chat, you know, me, Kojak going back and forth saying, what the F is going on here, like, in the last few minutes. But, you know, Jacksonville came out, and they kind of punched Buffalo in the mouth a little bit early on in that game. Obviously, there were some injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Buffalo. Matt Milano went down, probably lost for the year. I haven't seen any updated reports on that as of our recording tonight, but he seemed to suffer a pretty significant knee injury. It just seemed like a lot of those Buffalo guys, when I was watching the game, they were just dropping like flies. And I don't know if it was the turf that they put into that stadium, because they did switch from grass to turf before the game. But Jacksonville ends up prevailing. I'm a happy guy. I was a happy guy until about 1 o'clock on Sunday. And, you know, the thing that struck me the most in that game was I don't want to say ineptitude, but the lack of play from the Jaguars offensive line. They were getting Trevor Lawrence back there killed. And when Trevor Lawrence had his time and Travis Etienne had his time back there to, you know, make their plays, they were making plays in chunks. But there were some costly turnovers from Jacksonville in that game in critical moments in the red zone, that because Trevor Lawrence gets hit, fumbles the ball, turns it over, you lose out on points in that. So there's still some concern for me for Jacksonville after watching that game. But anytime I see the Buffalo Bills lose and Josh Allen chuck up I had some friends come at me of calling that a 50-50 ball, but you know, you're down, you're chucking it up, you're trying to go for the home run, making an ill-advised underthrown ball gets picked off. You sign me up for that. Sign me up for that all week, because I will be on Twitter going at all those Bills fans when that happens. Joe, what do you think about that game?
Once I'm referencing last week again, but I remember we emphasized how it's kind of like the Josh Allen show up there. Mm-hmm. I want to bring your attention to the rushing stats for your Buffalo Bills. 14 rushes for 29 yards. Four rushes for 14 yards by your quarterback, and then you had three rushes for 13 yards by Damian Harris. They rushed the ball 14 times for less than 30 yards. Unless it's a legitimate shootout and you're scoring and not throwing interceptions, that's going to be a recipe for disaster. Especially when you have the other team who's has a running back going for like 120 plus yards and being a legitimate dual threat. I think Jacksonville is, they kind of, like you were talking about the Cowboys being Jekyll and Hyde. Jacksonville's kind of the same way. Sometimes mm-hmm. they look so good. Their passing game could be so good. They have a lot of legitimate pass catchers. Calvin Ridley with another really, really good game, starting to look like one of the best acquisitions of the offseason. I think that ETN finally hits the ground like they need him to. I think Trevor Lawrence made some plays in this game. Fumbling the ball three times and losing it twice is very concerning, given how much like they kind of have to put on his shoulders. But I think that this team's buying in. I think that if anything, their coach has like figured out.
What the hell is his name? His name's Doug Peterson.
He's figured out how to kind of use all his pass catchers.
Why is my audio batting at that again?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'll echo that, and I'll echo that. I mean, you know, they are very Jekyll and Hyde, and you know, Doug Peterson does have his ways with calling the offensive plays. It was interesting to see when this happened. watching Doug Peterson call offense against the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, calling the defense. One thing that struck me the most when watching this game was how when Jacksonville got into like a third and long, and when I say third and long, 6 yards or more, it seemed like Calvin Ridley was always open. He always found a way to get himself open there. And, you know, good players find their ways to get that shit to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, Calvin Ridley always was there, and Trevor Lawrence always found him. Something is clicking between those two, and it will be very interesting to see if that continues throughout the year. And, you know, seeing Calvin Ridley do that aggravates me for other reasons. We'll get into that, you know, once we start talking about the Patriots, you know, coming up here in a little bit. But he always found a way to get open. You can attribute it to injuries on the defensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills. You can attribute it to whatever you want, but when push came to shove and they needed a play, Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley made that play happen. And, you know, it continued throughout the game. And it seemed like every time they were backed up and they needed a big play, they found it. It's incredible to see that. And, you know, they got a lot of playmakers on that offense. When Calvin Ridley wasn't open, Christian Kirk was catching balls. Travis Etienne was catching balls out of the backfield. Evan Ingram had 4 receptions in this game. And, you know, Zay Jones, before he got hurt, had a big touchdown catch in that game. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, going forward, again, I buy into the Jekyll and Hyde hype against, you know, when it comes to talking about Jacksonville. I believe they play the Indianapolis Colts next week, a big divisional matchup. And, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes from there, you know. And I really do believe that Jacksonville is going to win that division. They were my pick to win that division to begin with. I have some friends that are Jaguars fans, believe it or not. And they seem to have the Buffalo Bills number. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he tweeted it out. My buddy John Thomas at Struck You Out 12 on Twitter. Big Jacksonville Jaguars guy. And they're not worried about the Buffalo Bills. And I wouldn't be worried about them either. They have their own Josh Allen to worry about. And again, while we're talking about Josh Allen, we can talk about, you know, the officiating in this game and a questionable, probably by the book, a penalty, but a questionable roughing the passer call that occurred where he grazed the quarterback, Josh Allen's face mask, on a beautiful tackle, a beautiful sack, and it was flagged. So there was a lot to take away from this game in London. It seemed like, you know, the guys over in England, or the guys and the gals over in England, seemed to get themselves a great spectacle, especially as the game came down the stretch. Kojak, you and I were going back and forth about, you know, watching the end of that game on Twitter about, like, oh, the game's over. What the fuck is happening? Like, at the end of the game, Josh Allen goes down the field in like 3 or 4 plays, goes 75 yards and scores a touchdown. We're like, are the Buffalo Bills really going to lose this game? Or I'm sorry, are they really going to come back and win this game? And I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. And Kojak, I don't know if you have any thoughts about how that went down. You know, you and I going back and forth on Twitter watching it. It was kind of crazy to see how quick the Buffalo Bills went down the field and how soft the Jaguars defense was playing at that point.
Yeah, that's what like annoyed me the most, is they were just three and out like the whole like second, third quarter. And then there was like 4 minutes left in the game and the Bills were like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and start playing football. This shit really pissed me off. I hate that shit. I really
I hate the Buffalo Bills, man. I hate them.
No, you love them. Stop lying. Just annoyed the shit out of me. It's like, you guys are obviously a hell of a lot, but you're going three and out all the time. And then all of a sudden, it's 4 minutes left in the game. And it takes you 3 plays to go 100 fucking yards and score. Just, I don't know, dude. I hate that shit. I'm glad they lost. Fuck the Bills.
They're so friggin' – dude, am I back? Am I officially back?
You're good. Oh, you're good. Back, you're good. Right. We had a little bit of audio technical difficulties there, but Joe is back. Go.
All right, I'll give everybody $100 if that's not the only time. Yeah, I think the Bills are, like we said before, I'll keep it short. Like it's like we said before, it's the Josh Allen show, or it's not. There's no show at all. I think the Jaguars are a young developing team that I think that they're going to go as far as their young quarterback, and that passing game is going to take them. And I think that as soon as Trevor Lawrence starts like taking care of the ball a little bit more, they're going to be a lot better off.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Stephon needs to relax also.
No. He had. Let's talk about that for a second.
I just hate that shit. So you're they a poor athlete. Divas. Stop having a fucking temper tantrum on the side of the fucking.
They are divas. All right, they are divas.
At least he didn't throw the tablet at him like Daybaugh did at friggin' Daniel Jones.
So if you don't know what we're referencing, there was a clip on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I still call it Twitter, but. There was a clip floating around during that game where Stephon Diggs was watching film of a play that happened and he chucked the tablet, looked very, very animated, aggravated on the sidelines, and Josh Allen in the background kind of just looking at him. And I personally don't know the true backstory behind that, but Stephon Diggs had just broken himself wide open. They had busted the defense and Josh Allen underthrew the ball to him, where there was not a receiver or a defender within 10 yards of Stephon Diggs. And obviously Stephon Diggs gets tackled, doesn't go the distance. And I think Stephon Diggs was pissed at his quarterback for not leading him on that throw. And I get that, you know, we talked a little bit about this offline where quarterback obviously is harder to play than receiver in the NFL. I think we all agree on that. But if Josh Allen throws that ball better, that's 6 points for Stephon Diggs easily. And it was the same thing on the interception that Josh Allen threw, where Stephon Diggs had probably two or three steps on the defender and Josh Allen underthrew the ball, and it ended up turning into a 50-50 ball for Stephon Diggs to go up and get. Obviously, he didn't come down with it. He was very close, but he didn't come down with it. So I in that sense, I can understand a receiver's frustration where like, dude, I just did all the work to beat my guy and get wide the fuck open for you, and you underthrow it and I get tackled, where our team could have had 6 points. So where it comes to Stephon Diggs, I kind of can sympathize with him a little bit on that. At the same time, I understand that a quarterback, you know, with 300-pound dudes in his face trying to get a ball to that position perfectly thrown is very hard. I could never do it. I don't think I ever could do it in my life. I've never played football, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Josh Allen sucks because he didn't do that. But I could understand where Stephon Diggs is coming from.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just such a consistent theme with like wide receivers now. It's unbelievable.
You just got to deal with it. I mean, that's the nature of the personality of that position. And I don't agree with it either. I think it's ridiculous that these guys cry about not getting paid. They're one of the highest paid positions in the league. You know, if you're among your best, you get the highest paid. I'd argue more if it was the running backs complaining, because they're the ones that are getting shafted in terms of their pay, in terms of, you know, compared to their production. But at the same time, I can understand where his frustration is, because let's be honest, there's been some tension between those two for a little while now. This is not something new. So
I wonder if they'll ever institute like an incentive thing where like, obviously like contracts and like, being like a frugal like GM and like team builder is obviously going to like always have like a spot in sports. But like, I wonder if there's ever going to get to a point in time where like incentives are more like widespread. Like you get like X amount of points or X amount of money for like a touchdown or like throwing for this many yards. Cause I think that like, I know the guaranteed money thing is like a thing for running backs, that they're like signing these deals that like have no guaranteed money on them, or they're kind of getting like froze out of the market because like teams don't view them as like as valuable as they used to. So like, I don't know. I wonder if there will ever get to a place where like skilled position players will get like paid based on performance instead of just technically past performance now, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a decent segue into our next topic here, because we can start talking about the skill players all we want. Let's move on to the game that we all really want to talk about here, and we really want to start airing our grievances out, a la Seinfeld here. The Patriots may not have any skill players. They may not have any on the offensive side of the ball, so none of them are going to be sitting here complaining about not getting paid. Let's be real. The Patriots got their asses handed to them again for the second week in a row, something that I don't think any of us have really seen in our lifetime. I may have seen it when I was like 9 years old, considering I'm a lot older than you two clowns. But
old fuck.
Exactly. But let's be honest. A 34-0 shellacking of the Patriots at the hands of the New Orleans Saints in Gillette Stadium in front of the home crowd. I don't think I've ever seen a game at Gillette Stadium. At Gillette Stadium, mind you, you guys were old enough at that point when that stadium was built. I don't think I've ever seen a beatdown like that. And it was just something that it spiraled out of control quick. And the Patriots don't have enough talent to be able to claw themselves back into a game that is spiraling that bad. It was a tough watch. I let me get this off my chest before I turn it over to you, Joe, because I gotta do it. Bro. I gotta do it. I don't think I've ever seen something look so inept on, I don't want to say both sides of the ball, because I want to give the defense some benefits of the doubt here. They lost their two best defenders before this game in the last week in Matthew Judon and Christian Gonzalez. I still felt that they held their own, you know, for as much as they were required to play in this game, in the short fields that they were required to take over on. But this offense, man, this offense, I was, and I'm going to go on record right now saying I was big proponent that Billy O'Brien was going to fix a lot of this team's problems on offense. And I really, truly believed that they were going to be a team that was going to be better than what people were talking about in, you know, the training camp, the offseason, all that. I truly believe that they were going to be a team that was going to look, I don't want to say the same, but they were going to finish in the kind of the same ballpark in terms of a record. That kind of, maybe they'll be 8-9, but maybe they'll be 11-6 or 10-7. Maybe the coaching will steal a game or two. I am completely off of that now. I was wrong. And it has been absolutely brutal to watch this team in the last 2 weeks. It's probably been the worst 2 weeks that I have watched a Patriots football team play in the 25 years that I've been watching the Patriots. It's been absolutely brutal. They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. Their receivers can't get separation. When the receivers do get separation, the quarterback overthrows the receiver by 5 yards. It's just, they look completely dysfunctional. And as a Bill Belichick stan, I'm a guy that was Bill over Brady all the time. You keep Bill, you let the player walk because the coach will be here longer. And it seems like Bill Belichick has lost his grip on this team. Whether or not you want to blame Bill the coach or Bill the GM, I think they're both at fault here, because the talent on the field doesn't resemble anything of an NFL team. They might be one of the worst teams in the league when all said and done. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. When it comes to the coaching side of it, they're still taking dumb penalties. They're still taking these uncharacteristic Patriot-type penalties, making these un-Patriot-like plays. The turnovers are brutal, and I'm going to leave it at this, and I'll turn it over to you, Joe, to get what you got to get off your chest here. I am out on Mac Jones. If he plays the rest of the year, fine. I understand why he's got to, but he is not the guy going forward. Whether or not you can argue that they ruined him last year or he just was never had it to begin with, I am firmly out. I want a new quarterback. Joe, get it off your chest.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the Mac Jones. It's like you hit the nail right on the head there. It's like it doesn't really matter if they ruined him or he never had it in the first place. It's just not going to work. I don't know if it's the marriage between him and Bill. I don't know if it's his lack of physical skill sets. I don't know if it's 100% the position they put him in, which is terrible objectively. It's some of the most inept football I've seen played, not by the Patriots, but it just in general the last 2 weeks. On offense, I'm just looking at the box score here. Like, they had 45 yards on the ground, on less than 3 yards a carry, and they had 111 yards through the air. It's just like, that is at home. They had no red zone. They had absolutely, they didn't get to the red zone once, and they had 20 minute time of possession. Like, that is, that's ineptitude at its finest.
Coming off the worst loss in the Bill Belichick era, coming off that, that's how they responded to a brutal loss that we witnessed the week before. I don't know about you, but I think watching last week's game, I'm like, this is the low point. It can't get worse. It can't get worse than what we witnessed against Dallas down in Dallas. Kojak was in attendance for that game, and I feel sorry for you. It certainly did. It certainly did.
We put and a fat old donut.
If they had followed this performance up with having to play somebody like the Dolphins or the Bills or the Chiefs, I would have been like, okay, like, product of the schedule. You know what I mean? They're playing the Saints, a team that was had their own offensive problems coming into this game. Derek Carr was throwing with half a shoulder in this game, and he only threw 8 incompletions the whole game. He was out of the game in the fourth quarter because they were getting blown out. And again, I don't want to put this on defense because the defense was already, you know, you had Jonathan Jones in there his first game of the year or second game. I can't remember if he played in the opener, but he got hurt. He was coming back from injury. It was the first game J.C. Jackson was back after he got traded. Let's be honest, the Saints really don't have that great of weapons. I mean, Chris Olave is, you know, one of the receivers, you know, that you talked about in the preseason that was going to take that next step forward. He only had 2 catches in this game. He only had 2 catches.
Touchdown, though.
He did catch a touchdown. And they have, you know, an older rehabbed Michael Thomas who he doesn't do anything for me anymore. And he doesn't do anything for me, though. And the thing that just concerned me, the Saints ran the ball 42 times in this game. 42 times they ran the ball. Alvin Kamara had 22. Keandre Miller had 12. And then, you know, you had your Taysom Hill, Derek Carr, and Jameis Winston's kneel downs to round out the stats. But they ran for 136 yards and a touchdown in this game. Like, make the team beat you where you think they're weak. And I think going into this week, the team was like, all right, we're going to make Derek Carr with his bum shoulder beat us. And he certainly did that, but they also didn't help themselves on the ground. And, you know, we can just dissect this game forever. And I think this is more a bigger picture type performance from this team. All right. And, you know, again, I'm always been a Bill Belichick stan. I've been one that I've stood by him through the whole thing. And this was the year, or actually last year was the year, but we'll say this year is the year I was like, all right, it's make or break for this guy. All right. He's over 70 years old. He's an old guy. He's not sticking around for the long term. And he's here to break the record for Shula. And I think we're starting to see a lot of that, like, he's just kind of like, yeah, we're going to coast. We're going to win 7 games a year. I'll get the record in 3 years and I'm going to go off into the sunset. I have a problem with that as a Patriots fan. I want to see something that is at least a product that I can actually make an appointment to watch on my TV. The Patriots are no longer like a thing for me. And well, I say no longer, but like they will be, but they're not a team. Like I want to sit down and like, all right, we're going to have people over. We're going to watch the Pats play today. They're no longer that. And I knew that as an older guy, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. I knew what we witnessed over the last 20 plus years was not sustainable past this regime. But now I like watching them is like, it's boring. It's boring. Like I do it because like, I want to be able to vent about it on this podcast. I'm a big football guy, but at the end of the day, like it's boring football. It's boring football. And until they get playmakers on the offensive side of the ball specifically, because I think their defense, if they lock up who they have, they're going to be fine. Defensively, they're going to be fine. Offensively, Juju Smith-Schuster is not going to cut it for me.
It seems as if the Patriots think it's like still, oh, no, dude.
Kojak, we're going to pause this and you can just edit this out, all right?
Sounds good.
All good, Joe. You're good. Just edit this whole part out. And when that Joe sucks. Picks when Joe picks up again, you can just start at that point. All right.
I bet it's the kind of, I don't know. I want to say it's a cord, but
it's probably just a USB cord he can probably buy.
I think it's the adapter going in and out.
Yeah, you just gotta do that. So he's gonna edit all this out when we do this. So just pick up where we left off there. We were talking about like the talent on the offense Belichick. So just go with it. Whenever you're ready, just go with it.
Yeah, I think you bring up the playmakers. I think it's such like that's like the pass catchers and the like the specifically the like wide receiver position group. It's like it's such a microcosm of like both things that are going wrong, right? Like Bill can't draft and he can't like identify talent in free agency. You can
keep going.
Yeah, I don't even want to anymore. Should I just switch?
No, you're good. Keep going.
He was making a joke. No, he was making a joke.
It was a joke. It was a joke. It's a
poorly timed joke, you dig?
Right, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
No. It's me. I'm just pissed off. Yeah, I think you talk about pass catchers and playmakers. It's just a microcosm. The receiver group in New England is just a microcosm of Bill's shortcomings as a GM. He has a tough time picking skill players in the draft, and he has a tough time identifying them on the open market. Like, he gave Juju the exact same contract that Jacoby Myers has, and you can even see last night when he's balling out for the Raiders. Like,
That pisses me off the most.
Juxtapose that to like what Juju does in this offense. It's like it's pitiful. There's absolutely no positive you can take from these last two games. There's not a single positive thing that you can take from the last two games if you're a Patriots fan. 78-3. Like there's nothing that you can't take anything positive from that, especially when it looks the way it does. It starts bad, it ends bad, the middle's bad, everything's bad. It's all bad.
Dude, we get Tyquan Thornton back though, so
yeah, I don't even know about
that. I don't even want to talk about
that. Come on the pod, Tyquan, if you're out there.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, do you think I'm gonna pose this question to both of you? Joe, you can go first here. Do you think there is a scenario in New England that Bill Belichick will come back as just a coach and remove his ability to pick the groceries?
No? Absolutely not.
Even if he wants the record.
No chance. I don't know. If he would have done it, it would have happened by now.
I don't know if it would have happened yet. I think it was going to take to be this bad for that to happen.
And I don't think you can just, you got to do something drastic. You can't just like change one thing. Like, it's so broken.
I'm
just still send him to Tennessee. We'll take Mike Vrabel.
I'm still on this, and I may be in the minority here, but I still think Bill has it as a coach, as a strictly a coach.
Dude, they get pantsed every week, dude. No, he does not have it as a coach
anymore. I think he does.
If he had it as a coach, the offensive line would look somewhat representative. If he had it as a coach, like we wouldn't have the Cowboys doing trick plays on us after like we figure out this new groundbreaking way to block a field goal. Like, I just don't think that like he can't hack it. He lost his fastball. He might be a good CEO and maybe like president of football operations, but he shouldn't be picking players. He shouldn't be coaching players. Like, it's just you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting it to change. Like, somebody could be drafted and he's going to bench them for some dumbass reason anyway. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. I'm so mad. I'm so fucking mad, dude.
I'm going to disagree a little bit with you there. I think that he has too much on his plate for a guy that is 70 plus years old and is kind of trying to ride into the sunset. I do believe that he still has the ability to come up with a scheme and a game plan to limit the opponent's strengths. I still believe he has that. And whether or not you agree with his coaching, you know, his assistants and all of his personnel decisions, I'll agree with you on that 100% of the time. But if he is strictly my head coach and he is there to just be the guy to oversee the operation with guys that know what they're doing, I still believe that he can be that guy in a game. At the same time,
but like he just can't, like he can't put a staff together. Like he had to be forced to get an offensive coordinator. Like he put the franchise's most valuable asset in a compromised position last year. Like you just need to get the stink. You need to get the fingerprints. You need to do something totally different. First of all, I don't think he will. To answer your question, I'm so fired up. I'm so sorry.
Let's go. Go with it.
To answer your question, like there's no way he comes back as just the coach and the GM. Like some dumbass organization out there, like Tampa Bay or Las Vegas, will bring him in as a head coach and just have him break the record for the pop. And like, I think Kraft needs to grow some balls and actually assess his football team. If you're just there to ride off into the sunset, just like Bill, dude, yeah, congrats. We went 5-12 3 years in a row, and there was 48 people to watch Bill Belichick break the record at home. Like, it's just unbelievable that like they got to this point. Like they pushed out the greatest North American sports athlete of all time with absolutely no plan whatsoever to fill his shoes. And it's not like anybody's going to fill his shoes, right? No. How about you actually go balls deep in the draft instead of just picking the scraps left over? It might've not been that draft, but fuck it. If they had Trey Lance or Justin Fields or like one of the other, they could try to like maybe just move on from him instead of being middling like they are with Mac or doing these half measures like they are with Bill O'Brien. Like Kraft comes in and he's like, okay, I'll spend it on an OC, but it's like, dude, it doesn't matter. We could have Tom Landry come out of retirement and be our, Bill Walsh come out of retirement and be our OC, and it won't matter, dude. It won't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't have the horses. It's all interconnected. And once you have to fucking cut the head off of the snake to make a difference. All right, I'm done talking about it.
Great rant. You know, we could spend a whole podcast talking about all this. We really could. We really could go back and forth on this because I think we share a lot of the same points, but we disagree on a little bit too. And I think we could spend a whole podcast on this, but we'll wrap the Patriots talk for this week on this here. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
I got a segue.
Go for it. Take it away, man.
So I want to move on to a team that the Patriots should be, or any team should be modeling themselves after, even though they lost this weekend. There's two teams. There's the Texans and Falcons game. We got Texans 19, Falcons 21. This is one of our games that we picked last week. It ended up being a push. The two things I want to talk about are the two young QBs. Dude, even though they lost, dude, CJ Stroud still frigging, dude, he's still impressing me every week, dude. He even drove down and they scored that touchdown before Desmond Ridder came back with another frigging game-winning drive to kick a field goal there. Both teams have young pass catchers starting from Kyle Pitts. And then you have like the deluge of young pass catchers and young running backs. We talked about that this week on the Texans. And CJ Stroud, he just exudes confidence. I think the team's bought in. I think if you look at the Patriots, I mean, they have Gerard Mayo in waiting. D'Amico Ryans is a beloved member of their franchise, and he's got those guys absolutely flying around. He's got the right guy. He's got some guy from Shanahan's tree out in San Francisco running his offense with a young quarterback. And he has a young dual threat running back. And like we talked about the pass catchers, like it's just, that's how you want to do it. Dude, they scored 19 points, dude. I don't care, dude. They got points when they needed to. In the fourth quarter, when the game was on the line, they went down and put their team in a position to win the game. You don't, like, sometimes that's all you need from a rookie quarterback. And like, if you can get a defense that's good enough, you can win games that way. And that's kind of like how the Falcons are doing it right now. They're a great home team. They got a young defense. They got a young offense that can move the ball, that has a couple dynamic pass catchers in Pitts and London. I mean, it wasn't the prettiest game to watch. It wasn't the most high scoring game, but like, if you want to see two teams that are on the way up, I think this is where you come. I mean, they have everything. They have innovative young coaches. They have good young quarterbacks, good young pass catchers, a lot of draft capital spent on defense as well. I don't know. I was kind of keeping tabs on this game, and then I went back and watched it. But I think these are two teams that kind of like play for their coach, and they're going to be feisty going forward.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you at all on that. I mean, we were on record last week saying we love CJ Stroud. going forward, you know, for the Houston Texans. And say what you want about them. They're putting up a fight, and, you know, they may not make the playoffs. They may not make a lot of noise this year, but I agree with you with the Texans. They're on the up and up there. I'm not sold on Desmond Ridder, you know, in Atlanta. He had a good day. He had a good day against the Texans this week. He's not a guy that screams a franchise quarterback to me just yet. Again, could be proven wrong.
Hasn't lost a home game since he was in high school.
I know. It's still though.
Who keeps those stats?
I need to see more. I need to see more from him. But to your point, this team has both these teams have talent on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, CJ Stroud continues to impress me, you know, as a dynasty fantasy football owner of CJ Stroud. I'm very happy to see what I've seen. It makes me think that I can make some moves to get my quarterback Jalen Hurts out sooner than later because of what CJ Stroud is showing. We'll see how the season progresses from here. But, you know, I mean, Atlanta and Houston are investing in that offensive side of the ball. Like we talked about last week about the running game for Houston. We talked about what they've brought in for their pass catchers with Dalton Schultz, the guys they've drafted in Nico Collins and Tank Dell. We've seen that. And then we talk about Atlanta. They draft make a high pick on Bijan Robinson. Seems like it's going to be a massive hit, you know, once they start giving him the ball 100% of the times. He actually had less carries in this game than Tyler Allgeier, which is kind of surprising to me a little bit, but I get why they're doing it. You look at the receivers, they have Kyle Pitts, who was a very high pick for a tight end. I think he was the highest pick tight end ever in the NFL draft. You look at Drake London that they have there as well. Another high draft pick for receiver, a promising young wide receiver. And then you have, the lovely Patriots cast off Jonnu Smith catching six passes for 67 yards. He was a guy that I was so pumped when the Patriots drafted him or signed him a few years ago. He was my number one tight end target. And obviously he didn't work out here for one reason or another. He didn't work out, but he seems to be acclimating to that offense down in Atlanta just nicely. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Houston's a team on the up and up. I'm still firmly in the camp that give me CJ Stroud over Anthony Richardson. We had this debate last week on our first episode on the pod, and you know, CJ Stroud's out there balling out and Anthony Richardson is hurt again. The best ability is availability. I still want to echo that. And, you know, say what you want about both of them, but give me CJ Stroud all day. It'll be interesting to see where, you know, next week goes, with these two teams. I'm a buyer on these Texans. You know, I want to see them make noise in the AFC South, a division that is very, very much up for grabs with, you know, you got the Colts, you got the Jaguars and the Titans and the Texans down there. I think the Titans are on the way down. The Colts are kind of one of those teams that you're kind of like, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, you're going to be playing with Gardner Minshew going forward. But I'm excited to see where it goes from there. You know, I'm very, very, very intrigued with CJ Stroud going forward.
I think he's going to be the real deal. Just got something to make your blood boil. In 14 games last year with New England, Jonnu Smith had 245 receiving yards. In five games this year with Atlanta, Jonnu Smith has 246 receiving yards. anyway you look at it. I can echo what you said. I think both teams have a promising future, and I think CJ Stroud still hasn't thrown a pick yet. Must be nice to have a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to take my opportunity to segue here for you. Let's talk about another high draft pick quarterback that played this week. And that was Bryce Young playing against the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions played this week. Let's be honest. I mean, you can say what you want about Bryce Young, but those Detroit Lions are for real. They're for real this year. I like them. They seem to be firing all cylinders. Joe, what do you think about that game that occurred between the Panthers and the Lions?
The Lions fuck so hard. Dude, they're so fun to watch. I don't know why it's so fun to me to watch like a team that like gives a shit play. Like they play so hard. And I think the revival of Jared Goff, I think he was like 20 of 27. Like he looks like a different guy.
Unbelievable.
I think, yeah, dude, and I was looking at, he was like throwing it. He's got like eight guys with receptions. He's got, I just think that they ran the ball like crazy yesterday. It seems like whoever they put behind that offensive line produces. And I think that kind of goes, you can kind of see that a lot around the league, like the 49ers and what used to be the Cowboys running game last year. It's all these good offensive lines. I mean, they could take you pretty far. And then it seems like Jared Goff has gotten his shit together. So I don't know if he's still the quarterback that can put you over the top and win a Super Bowl, but dude, they're dangerous. They're going to be good. I think they're going to be there. I think they'll probably be, if they don't make the playoffs or if they don't win a game in the playoffs, I'd be pretty surprised. That team's legit.
Absolutely. They're kind of the team that I'm kind of like, all right, my Patriots suck. I'm kind of hopping on the bandwagon. They're a team that like that, you know, the Detroit Lions history has not been good since the NFL has been formed. And, you know, it's one of those teams, you know, with their head coach, I laughed at that initial press conference when he's talking about breaking kneecaps and
taking a bite out of somebody's kneecap.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like I laughed at that at the time. I'm like, this guy's a joke, but man, he can get those guys to play for him. I mean, look what he's done with Jared Goff. A guy cast off that. I think when that trade happened, you know, involving Matthew Stafford with the Lions and the Rams, I was like, Jared Goff's going to be there a year, maybe two, and he's going to be, they're going to draft a quarterback and he's going to be on his way out. They have committed to him and they have surrounded him with pieces that work. All right. They won this game 42-24 against Carolina without their top wide receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was hurt. And they also lost it without their second, you know, the second running back to David Montgomery and Jahir Gibbs. He was out too. And, you know, seeing what they did and being able to just dominate in this game, and they've done it. They've proven it. I think they, through 5 weeks, they're 4-1. I think they're easily the favorites to win that division up there in the, I think is the NFC North. And I'm all in. I'm going to follow them for the rest of the year and see what happens. I wanted them to make the playoffs last year. I loved what they did to Green Bay last year when they knocked them out of the playoffs by beating them in that last week and, you know, knocking Aaron Rodgers out of it. They're just a team that screams to me that you could, a casual fan can get behind, a team that hasn't won in forever. You know, they're doing the right things. They got a cast off quarterback. They got a cast off running back.
Extremely likable team.
It's great. It's great to watch. And I really hope that they can continue this as the year goes on. You know, Bryce Young threw two picks in this game. CJ Stroud still hasn't thrown one. Like you said,
did he throw two or three? I thought he threw three.
He threw two, and you know.
Oh, he threw three touchdown passes.
Though. That's he did throw three. We will say that he did throw three touchdown passes, but he did turn the ball over twice, and obviously you couple that with a fumble from Miles Sanders that was lost. That's three turnovers in a game. Your offense can't, you know, your team can't really overcome that. Really, really elite teams might be able to overcome that, and the Panthers aren't that.
Yeah, and it's funny how they. It comes out during the week that they're looking for a number one wide receiver to help their young quarterback. And Adam Thielen comes out and goes for 11 catches for almost 110 yards. And you have your young quarterback like turning the ball over left and right. So he's probably like, yeah, is this really a number one wide receiver issue? Or is this my quarterback is still going through some growing pains kind of issue. I don't want to write him off just yet. I think he has a lot to learn. In the pocket, I think that his pocket presence could probably use a little work. He kind of looks a little small. I know it was a concern coming out, but some players play small. Like I never thought Drew Brees like looks small out there, but he never played small. So when you're looking at a small quarterback, I always try to see if there's any kind of Drew Brees in them, which is like ability to throw like different arm angles, ability to move around the pocket to find like a good throwing lane, like very accurate ability to throw, like I said, ability to throw different arm angles in different like parts of the field. So I don't want to write him off just yet, but yeah, the Lions the Lions are so fun, dude. The Lions were 4-for-4 in the red zone too. And it's I don't know, man. It's just it's a fun team. It's a fun team to watch. They run the ball, they throw the ball, they play good defense, they try hard. I mean, there's not much to pitch about if you're a Detroit fan right now.
Absolutely. And it's nice to see that city get that. They've been so bad for so long. They went through the winless season and all that, you know, years back. And it really is good to see, you know, this team. And they were a likable group last year. I was like, even last year, I was like, let's go Detroit. Like I'm going to buy into this. And obviously they missed the playoffs, you know, in the last couple of weeks of the season, but seeing what they're doing now after last year and building on that, you know, say what you want about Tank Campbell, like being the PC principal from South Park or, you know, what have you, but like, he's got those guys playing for him. He seems like he's a true player's coach, and he's got his guys bought in. They're playing for him, and they're playing at a very high level. And they did this without two significant pieces, I would say, for their offense. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown has been a catch machine since last year and he came into the league. It's incredible. It's incredible to see it. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm going to be on that bandwagon the whole way. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And let's move on. We've talked enough about this here. Let's move on to the last game we want to talk about from last week here. And that's the Bengals and the Cardinals. All right. Bengals get right game. We can call it that. You know, they seem to, you know, kind of get their shit in order from, you know, what's been going on there in the first 4 weeks of the season. There was a lot going on in this game. Joe Burrow seemed to act, you know, play like he's back. It seems like he might be fully healthy at this point. Same with Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, my God, what a day from Ja'Marr Chase in this game. The Bengals ended up winning 34-20 over the 1-4 Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals have been a team that I feel this year has, obviously they don't have it. They're a team that's in transition. They don't have their starting quarterback healthy at this point, but they seem to be giving fights to a lot of these teams that, you know, maybe you didn't expect that to happen as the year started. Ja'Marr Chase goes off in this game for 15 receptions, 192 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Like, welcome back. Yeah. All you guys that took him as your first or second pick in the fantasy football draft, you're finally saying thank you at this point. They seem to be firing, and this Bengals team, they're still going to be a team that's going to be cause problems. I mean, we're only 5 weeks into the year. We play, you know, there's 18 weeks in the NFL season. I still think they're going to make noise for that division. I mean, after what, you know, Pittsburgh gave the Ravens this week with that, you know, that last few minute win over the Ravens there. I still like the Bengals. It's nice to see them with a get right game again against a team that I would say has subpar talent compared to them, obviously. But they took advantage of this. They took advantage of it. And I personally think that they're back. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go that far because the Cardinals suck, but they are feisty. They do try hard. We're talking about that try hard factor. But Cincinnati, I mean, it's a get right for a lot of people. I mean, Joe Burrow was moving around the best I've seen him since probably 2 years ago. You know what I mean? I think that him getting right and finding that chemistry with Ja'Marr Chase is obviously a huge theme, obviously a huge thing for that team's success. And I think that they ran the ball 30 times today. So they had some decent balance between run and pass. They committed to the run. They got Joe Mixon involved early. And then they just peppered their number one wide receiver until the other team pretty much gave up. I mean, it's a pretty decent formula when you have the players to do it. But I still have some concerns about Zach Taylor. It's just sometimes, they have so much effing talent on that offense, dude. They have a top five quarterback, a top five wide receiver, and an arguably top five running back. Like, they should be a lot better than they are. I know that T. Higgins is hurt. I don't think he played today. But, I mean, dude, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 receivers with over 4 receptions. 3 of those receivers had 6, and 2 of them had 8 or more. Like, dude, they have the pass catchers. Joe Burrow is the guy. It's just Zach. I'm just not 100% sold on Zach Taylor yet. I know he went to a Super Bowl, but I mean, that it's just ever since people kind of figured out that they kind of just run vertical routes with Jamar Chase and try to hit deep plays. Like, I mean, they scored 34 points and they were only in the red zone three times. So
no, yeah, absolutely. And I've had my concerns about Zach Taylor, going a few years back. I'm like, this guy's just a fucking puppet. I thought he was a puppet playing with a bunch of talent. And, you know, I mean, he did take his team to the Super Bowl, and there were a couple big wins in the playoffs over the last couple of years over, you know, the Chiefs and all that. I have my concerns about him, but given what that division has to offer, you know, you have the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers are still a mess despite their win this past week. And the Ravens have their own set of problems. You know, John Harbaugh is a good coach there. So I think they're going to be, you know, in the conversation. But I still like Cincinnati. Maybe this was that point in the season where they're like, all right, the season started. Let's go. Let's go. Let's start moving on here. And I still like them to find a way to win the division after their slow start. I think maybe facing that adversity that they saw in these first, you know, 4 weeks is going to be good for them in the long run. You know, good teams with talent find a way to, you know, win games after a start like that. We've seen it here in New England time and time again, where in September they're a 2-2 team, or they're like, oh, we the sky's falling here in New England. You know, when Tom Brady was here with Bill and, you know, all those teams that we saw happen over the last decade. And the same thing happened was they were always there in the playoffs making noise, whether or not they got to the Super Bowl or not, different story, but they were always there and they were always going to make noise. And I don't want to say I have that feeling about Zach Taylor in this team, but like the talent on the roster makes me think that if they stay healthy, that they're going to be kind of in that kind of same conversation, if that makes sense. I don't know if you feel the same way there, but I still like them to win that division.
I totally agree with your logic of like how you get to that point. Like they definitely the amount of talent they have, especially in the areas where they have it. I mean, don't forget they have Trey Hendrickson, who's like an elite pass rusher, elite defensive lineman. Yeah, I think it would be kind of silly to not kind of assume that they'll be there at the end of the year. Just based, I mean, Burrow's that dude. I mean, once he gets healthy, once he feels a little bit better, I think that the team will obviously go as he goes. So I don't know. I think that was the last game we wanted to get to. I want to jump into our gambling picks just because we did awesome last week. So I'll take the helm on this one. So as a group last week, we went 4-1-1. So just to recap our picks. Burrish had two picks. He had Indy -1, which cashed Gardner Minshew Fan Club Chairman Burrish. And then he had the worst pick of all time until next week. He had Pats -1.5. We missed that number by 35.5 points. So
brutal.
Tough loss on brutal. That one. So 1-0 with his lock, which was Indy. But 1-1 on the day indeed. Get to my picks. Ended up going 3-0-1. I love CJ Stroud, but that push was tough. I thought they were going to pull that one out. But I had Houston +2, which ended up being a push. Jets +2, which was a win. I also gave out the Jets money line, which would have paid rent if you had the balls. 49ers -3.5. We knew that game was going to be a beatdown. I don't know. After you go out there and kill a lamb, it's going to be kind of hard to go out and kill a lion like the Niners are. Cowboys going against the Pats and the Niners back-to-back weeks. Gets me to my lock. Eagles -4. This game was terrifying in the beginning where it looked like Puka was going to absolutely abuse the shit out of the Philadelphia secondary. I think that the Rams are still good, I think that they could be a sneaky dark horse in the NFC. My pick still hit my Eagles -4. So I'll throw it back to you before I start talking the whole time here, Burrish. What do you got for your lock? And then maybe if you want to give out another pick as well.
So I got three picks this week and we'll see what happens. Obviously I was 1-1 last week. We'll see what happens. So I'll lead with my first pick going off of the unofficial sponsor, no sponsorship here. DraftKings Sportsbook here in New Hampshire. I'm going to go with the Bears plus 2.5 against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, I think, are in complete disarray here. And obviously we saw what Justin Fields and DJ Moore put on display last week, in their game. I just think maybe something might be clicking. I think it's a couple of weeks here where we've seen them kind of connect. Maybe it didn't result in the win or loss column for the Bears, but I just think that the Vikings are in complete disarray. Justin Jefferson heading to IR, RIP my fantasy team, pain. I like the Bears here. They're at home. They're at home against the Vikings when they play at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So my first pick is going to be the Bears plus 2.5 against the Vikings. Next pick, I'm gonna buy on the Jacksonville Jaguars here, going minus 4 against the Indianapolis Colts. The Jacksonville Jaguars are at home. They're coming off a big win after their 2 week stay in London. I like to see them build on that. I like to see Calvin Ridley, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Christian Kirk, that whole offensive unit continue to kind of go, to keep moving forward. If I was going to have any kind of, hedge or apprehension on this pick, it's the Jaguars offensive line that seems like they want to get Trevor Lawrence killed every week when, they're out there. He got sacked a bunch, a couple fumble turnovers in big spots, as we talked about earlier in the pod. In London against Buffalo this past week. But, give me the Jaguars. They were my pick to win that division all off season. So I want to see them assert themselves a little bit in that AFC South by picking up a big division win at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, Anthony Richardson is not going to be playing for the Colts. It's going to be Gardner Minshew Mania. But, we'll see what happens, but I'm going to be all aboard the Jacksonville Jaguars train minus 4 at home against the Colts. And my lock for the week, this may go against what I was saying earlier in the podcast, but Monday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys on the road against the LA Chargers. They are currently minus 2 to win that game on the road in LA. The Cowboys seem to kind of bounce back when they kind of get their asses handed to them. And, the Chargers always find a way to screw it up. I have zero faith in Brandon Staley to kind of win a game for that team to help out his quarterback, Herbert, and, on top of all the other talent they have on that team there. I know LA is coming off a bye, I believe, this week, but I have no faith in Brandon Staley to kind of close out a big game. Obviously, they're going to be in the national spotlight on Monday Night Football. I like the Cowboys to rebound there. I don't foresee them not being able to run the ball like they did this past week against the Chargers. So Cowboys minus 2 is my lock for the week. Joe, turn it over to you.
All right, I'll start where I directly disagree with one of your picks. you had the Chicago plus 2.5. I'm going to go Minnesota money line on that. I feel like this is a classic situation of one team being undervalued and one team being overvalued. So if you think about it now, teams usually get like a half a point to a point for being at home. It used to be like 2.5 to 3, but travel's gotten so much easier and all they do chartered flights now and all the private flights. So this is probably right around a field goal and in real odds, like if this was played at a neutral site, which I feel like, dude, the Vikings, even without Justin Jefferson, are a far superior team to the Chicago Bears. So that's why I'm going to pick a money line right now. DraftKings has DraftKings has them at here we go. DraftKings has them at minus 135, so I will take just the money line there at minus 135. So then my other pick that I like this week is the Bengals minus lane 3 at home.
Almost what
they're
that
playing.
One.
Yeah, they're playing the Seahawks. Geno Smith is kind of banged up. That offense really hasn't looked too great.
Your mic is fucked.
Dude, I didn't even do anything to it either.
So just we'll just edit this out, and we'll start with his pick it up where he starts talking about the Seahawks and the Bengals, because he worked well for him up until he started talking about the Bengals. Not a good sign.
All right, can you hear me?
You're good. You're
yeah,
good.
So just, a lot better. Action.
Just start talking about the Bengals and the Seahawks. Start right there.
All right. And then another pick I like this week is the Bengals at home laying 3 versus Seattle. I feel like this number, like I said, it's if you're getting a half a point or a point for being at home, and they're at -3. I feel like Cincinnati's extremely undervalued here. Hopefully they get T. Higgins back. Will just further prove my point here that they have too much talent to fail. Geno Smith is banged up. Seahawks offense hasn't been great all year, so I like the Bengals -3. And then my lock of the week is going to be this is a classic: just ride the dogs until they die, ride the horse until it dies. San Francisco -5.5 in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson's banged up. Cleveland, do they suck? I don't know.
They might,
but the San Francisco is 2-0 on the road. They're 4-1 against the spread in their last 10 games. I want San Fran -5.5 for my lock of the week.
Solid, right. Solid.
Co, you want to give us a loss for us?
Give us that lock. Loss lock.
I'll give you a nice easy one that'll obviously pay your fucking bills. Is Eagles -7. The Jets have never in the history of their life beaten the Eagles, and the Eagles are obviously storming everybody right now.
Is that true?
What? Yeah,
the Jets have never beaten
not once.
Really?
That's crazy.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know why you want CJ Stroud as your fantasy QB over Jalen Hurts either, Bursch. I said that shit earlier and I was kind of dumbfounded. But
I didn't say I wanted him now. I'm saying in the future.
Oh.
Dynasty. But. Dynasty. It's all about the years to come. The years to come.
You dig?
You dig. Oh, yeah, you dig.
Hate you, dude, the Phillies, yeah.
That
Phillies,
a Christian yeah. McCaffrey anytime TD. He's scored the past 23 games in a row.
Like it. So. I like it. I like it.
Oh shit. I do like that pick.
Well, we're gonna have a fun conversation next week about this this Bears Vikings game. One of us is gonna be right, one of us is gonna be wrong.
Yeah,
I would be shocked if the Chicago beats the Vikings. Actually, yes. I don't know. They don't got Jefferson Justin anymore.
Da Bears. Da Bears.
Yeah, hopefully, right. I don't know. I just feel like that 2.5 number is just shockingly low. I don't know. Obviously, the casinos are a lot smarter than I am. Let's just put it that way.
That's why they take our money, right? Well, I think this is a good time to plug it up here. Again, we are breaking the plane. We are in partnership with Primetime Productions. So give them all a follow on Twitter. Give us all a follow on Twitter as well. Give the podcast a follow at BTP_podcast_. We're on Twitter. Don't hesitate to send us your questions. We'll answer them on the pod. We'll fit them in for you. And, we'll continue going forward. Looking forward to next week. Joe and I will have a nice conversation about our Bears-Vikings pick. And I'm sure, knowing my track record, I'll be wrong. I'm usually wrong. So, if you're going to bet somebody, bet Joe. Don't bet me because I'm usually wrong in some capacity. Jew. The juicy Jew. Yes. Well, if that's all, you guys got any final thoughts?
No, give me a follow on Twitter just to have fun with your keyboard at @_juicyjew. Looking forward to next week. I think there's a couple divisional matchups. There's a couple high profile matchups that I want to keep tabs on. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be another great week of watching football, and I can't wait to report back here.
I'm sure we'll be bitching about the Patriots again next week. So if you're Patriots fans, you want an outlet to come in and listen to us bitch and complain and be right there with you again, don't hesitate to tune in.
Or if you're a fan of the other 31 teams and you're fine and you want to hear us actively get our comeuppance, also another great place to come for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any final thoughts, Kojak, over there?
Nothing.
Let's roll. All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Have a good week.
See you guys.